Fire up those cues, grab a beverage or two, and a buddy or two, because we are celebrating with the nation. We want to hear from you, tailgater, 702-365-9200. What did we just watch? Everyone says all the time, it is a week-to-week league, and the Raiders are proving that to be true week in and week out. It is a good day because it is Monday morning cornerback in the 8 o'clock hour. Raiders great, Raiders legend, friend of the show, Eric Allen will join us to break down what we saw Sunday afternoon at Allegiant Stadium. The first home win of the season. Clay, Vinny, a lot to unpack in this one.
Yeah, and if you're asking me what I saw a bunch of young players accept a challenge. There was so much talk about who wasn't going to play in that game on Sunday. You kind of forgot about who was going to play on Sunday, and we could just go right down the line. Isaiah Palamao, by the way, all our best wishes. His wife is being induced into labor today. Their first son is coming into the world, so what a great couple of days for Isaiah Palamao, getting his first start, playing a great football game, making two splash plays, one an incredibly important pass breakup where perfectly timed, which would have negated at least a 30-yard gain right there on third and 16. They got to punt it back to the Raiders and bought them themselves some times. How about DJ Glaze? How about Jackson Powers Johnson? How about Charles Snowden? How about DJ Turner? How about Trey Tucker? No Devontae Adams, no Max Crosby, no Divine Diablo, no Marcus Epps, no Thayer Munford. You're down six starters. It's a crucial game to get to 2-2 rather than 1-3. And they put it into the hands of a bunch of young Raider players that absolutely responded. So that's what I saw. And I think that is an incredibly encouraging development for the Raiders moving forward, that a bunch of young players accepted that challenge and really won that game for them yesterday.
So to your point, and Clay, this is what I find fascinating about it. You look at the inactives that come out about, you know, a little bit before the game.
Mm-hmm. 90 minutes.
Five guys that were starting a week prior, yep, on that inactive list, mm-hmm, two of which are your best players. Six, if you count Marcus Epps, which we obviously
do. You
have to. And then you can even go as far as say as to seven. In terms of seven starters in week four, when you're talking about a Malcolm Kuntz who has not been out on the field, but seven guys who were slated to start of your 22, not on the field for game four following one of the uglier losses, mm-hmm, in recent memory. And then to go out and put a performance like that together, what does that tell you?
It shows you that we don't need to question the depth as much. Mm. Perhaps this team is stronger to deal with injuries because the depth is there. And even certain players getting some of their first time out there, like Ka'Lavon Chaisson. And you see even Darnay Holmes and stuff like that. That was interesting to see how, as well as the defense, actually started to communicate with all the different bodies that were in there and all the contributions he saw on defense. But the ability for them to communicate with many missing parts, that was also an exemplary effort.
And a bunch of the players that we just mentioned are the future of the Raiders. You know, when you talk about that offensive line, Jackson Powers Johnson and really DJ Glaze as well, are the future of the Raiders. Trey Tucker is part of the future of the Raiders. Brock Bowers, who I think still needs to get more touches, but he had a great block on the touchdown run. I think it was DJ Turner's touchdown run. Great block. Also had a nice catch in that game. Even a DJ Turner could be a potential future part of this thing. Moving forward, and that's what you need during the course of the season, because it is a battle of attrition. You look around the league, Vince, there's tons of injuries everywhere, and it's the teams that are able to survive those injuries and be able to maybe steal a win here or a win there, because eventually they're going to get Max Crosby back. Eventually they're going to get Devontae Adams back, and you want to go an eighth starter. Michael Mayer is technically the starting tight end. I do expect that he's going to be back. Eventually, all of our best wishes are with Michael Mayer right now, dealing with some personal issues. I expect him to be back as well, playing a role for this
He was part of that list on those inactives that I counted as a starter, you know, just because, one, where he's listed on the depth chart, mm-hmm, and he does start for this team and has started. So I there's a lot of different ways we can go with this conversation. Good thing we got 3 hours to do so. But for me, this all starts with that offensive line. Jackson Powers Johnson, as you mentioned, gets his first NFL start. Noticeable. I mean, absolutely
He's a manimal.
Noticeable because this guy. So, you know, I'm not going to lie. When I sat there and said, you know, the first drive of the game, I tweeted it. I said, man, if Antonio Pierce was asking what's going on last week after what happened on the first drive of the game, and then to see the exact same thing play out where the Browns go 15 plays, 9 minutes, 22 seconds, 70 yards, just methodical, right? Right down the field, 7-0 before Gardner Minshew ever touches the ball. I'm sitting there saying, boy, is this a continuance from week three? And then, you know, the defense.
Three and out?
It's essentially a three and out.
There were a couple penalties.
When it's just stuff that you're like, wait, what just happened? And it was a Brock Bowers drop. And what was the play?
There was a penalty.
It was a Brock Bowers drop, DJ Glaze holding penalty,
right.
Zamir White, 2-yard gain, which Raider Nation has become accustomed to with these 2-yard gains. And then Gardner Minshew overthrows what was a wide open DJ Turner punt, and then a hold or an illegal man downfield on the punt. So absolute disaster.
I think there was a penalty on the kickoff return, too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there were 3 Raider penalties in the first 10 minutes.
There were 4 penalties before they even had 4 offensive plays.
Correct. It was disaster, right? Absolute disaster. We see Jack Jones on the sidelines, did not play the entire first quarter. You asked about that situation after. Antonio Pierce says that's between Jack and he.
It was and a disciplinary.
It was clear.
We all know what was. I was telling my wife this afterwards. I was like, sometimes you ask questions, you know exactly what the answer is going to be. But
yeah, you ask because you have to ask.
I can't say it. I can't write it. I got to have the coach say it. So it was, we all know why he sat.
So absolute disaster, right? First quarter. I mean, anybody in that building cannot sit there and feel like, oh, I feel good with what we're about to see next.
Right.
But after that, guys, I mean, the point of attack, winning the battle at the point of attack, the Raiders slowly started to turn that tide. And the biggest noticeable thing that I saw was the finish. Zamir, what you could see the extra effort, whether it was Zamir, whether it was a receiver, Brock Bowers, getting his hands on a ball and getting past that first point of contact, not necessarily yards after catch in terms of 5, 6, 7, at least in that initial going. It was contact was made. Instead of going down, they were fighting for that extra yard and a half. Zamir White was fighting. There was a noticeable intensity difference from week to week as well as from quarter to quarter. And for me, it all started with that offensive line. Jackson Powers Johnson, we were talking before the show, was not Mr. Fix-It. He was not, you know, the end-all, be-all. He was a massive reason that created some of those rocking blades.
You feel Jackson Powers Johnson, and shout out to DJ Glaze as well. He played a really good football game as well. By the way, you mentioned Jack Jones not playing the entire first quarter. We know the reasons why all that happened. The Cleveland Browns didn't score an offensive touchdown post him coming back. That was all in the first quarter. The 10 points that they scored were when Jack Jones wasn't on the field. I'm not saying that he was the reason why the Raiders shut them out through a shutout against the Browns offense the rest of the way. But
having your number one corner helps.
Helps, exactly. And now, you know, full acknowledgement, there was an 82-yard, I think it was 82-yard touchdown that was negated, but on a very legitimate holding call. So that has to get called back. So there were a couple of breakdowns defensively, even beyond Jack coming back. But I don't necessarily believe in coincidences. Jack Jones does mean that much to this defense, especially when you're as wounded as you were, you know, coming into the game. So they paid a little bit of a price for not having Jack Jones out there early in the game. But once he came back, that Raiders defense got back in line and didn't give up a point the rest of the way.
Clay, a 152 on the ground, 29 carries, to the Raiders giving up just 92 yards on the ground. And again, those numbers, I'm sure they want their numbers up and the defense to still go down just a little bit. That feels like a massive turnaround week to week.
Yeah, you're worried about run fits on the defense, but the defensive line got after the run. They were starting to control the line of scrimmage. And for whatever they kept trying to do and working in Jerome Ford, it wasn't enough for their ability to try to find some sort of rhythm on offense. And the way Patrick Graham was really scheming up the secondary, and it was a different look each play for Deshaun Watson to try to figure out you know, a key to unlocking Stefanski's offense.
Yeah.
So this was an interesting game to see how well the defense got its identity back, but also being able to stop the run was huge with a different cast of characters.
And then you ran for 152. By the way, Gardner Minshew blew the whole story because the Raiders had 153 yards rushing in the first three games combined. They had 153 exactly yesterday
until
he took the knee. I'm being facetious, obviously, but that made it 152.
He ruined it. No,
You think about that for a second. that they matched basically their rushing total in one game that they did the previous three games, which says a lot about what wasn't going on in those first three games, but how vitally important that run game is. And what I liked about it was they were so creative in how they went about it. I mean, there were a whole bunch of dudes that touched the ball and ran the ball. You were running wide, you were running power, you were running fly sweeps to multiple players. They figured out a way, to get that running game going, and a lot of it, like you said, was right square on the backs of the offensive line. And I do believe that Jackson Powers Johnson makes a huge impact. He's just, you feel his presence, and interesting hearing from Antonio Pierce after the game about how in his 21 plays the previous week against the Panthers, referees had to come over to the sideline to warn or to point out to Antonio Pierce about Jackson Powers Johnson's style of play, which he's a rough and tumble dude.
You know what that sounds like to me? A Raider.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I talked to Jackson afterwards. I go, it's funny hearing your coach talk about that. You know, and I go, on one hand, it's kind of a compliment to you. And he's and he said, basically, I've been playing like that since I was 8 years old. I got into football for the physicality. So, yeah, I'm not changing how I play anytime soon. So, you know, obviously you have to stay within the rules. And we saw a couple yesterday where we were like, okay,
So the plays that I believe that Antonio Pierce was referring to in
the week before, I'm talking about the week before.
Right, but yeah. there was conversation apparently this week,
I'm
too.
Sure there was.
And so apparently what that involved was not necessarily between the whistles, right? Because if something was out of bounds during the whistles, then you're going to get a flag, essentially. But what I think refs were inferring, and this is kind of speculation, but I mean, I saw it at least three or four times.
And they were within the whistle.
At least three or four times, there's a run play, Zamir gets tackled, Madison gets tackled, whatever it may be. And as the pile is coming to a close, here comes Superman himself, Jackson Powers Johnson, launching himself onto the pile, sometimes trying to even move the pile that's already on the ground.
And he'll argue, Vince, it was within the whistle.
He'll argue? That he was already in the air by the time the whistle was being, the sound had made
right.
it to his ears.
It was simultaneous.
His ear canal. But no, it sounds like a Raider to me. And I posted about that last night after those Antonio Pierce comments. And you talk about if he wasn't a fan favorite before. Raider Nation is in love with Jackson Powers Johnson, rightfully so, because not just of his attitude, not just of his demeanor, but what he's putting out that is helping this team establish that identity. Guys, this is the first game. And I'm curious to get Eric Allen's take in the next hour with Monday Morning Cornerback. This feels like the first game of their identity established. This feels like the recipe. I understand Max wasn't there. I understand Devontae wasn't there. But in terms of if you just look at the game, what they were able to do and what they were able to prevent, 10 points on the defense given up.
Right.
152 yards on the ground.
Correct.
Ending the game with the ball in a kneel situation because their defense made a play. They were opportunistic with the defensive turnover.
For sure.
This just feels like the recipe. When we look back at, or I should say, when we look forward to future games now, I believe this is the game where you look at, this was the recipe.
I completely agree, and there were a couple of really good punts by A.J. Cole.
He's
as
a weapon.
Well.
He's a monster,
so,
man.
So what have we been preaching, Vince, throughout is that It's going to take a village. The Raiders have boxes. They're like non-negotiable boxes that they have to check off each and every game. And if they can check those boxes off, they're going to put themselves in a decent position to at least be competitive, to at least have a chance to win games. And if they continue to do that, they're going to put themselves in a good spot. If they deviate from that, as they did last Sunday against the Carolina Panthers, disaster is always right around the corner. And you can see what happened. There could be games like that looming if they aren't conscientiously checking off those boxes. But I think they're capable of doing that.
The Raiders, 2-2 to start the first month of the season. We're going to hear from head coach Antonio Pierce and the team coming up on the tailgate.
Minshew out of the gun. He sends Bowers in motion to the right. Third and goal. Shotgun snap. Hand off to White. They run a reverse to the near side. Tucker, he's got space at the five. Finds the corner. Touchdown, Raiders! Trey Tucker on the reverse to the left side. Beat the Browns to the corner. And the Raiders cap off a drive with a 3-yard touchdown. And they're back in it, baby.
Raiders Radio Network with a call. 11-play drive on that Tucker touchdown. And that was an interesting mix of what we're going to see for the rest of that game, where you get a good mix of plays. You also have the offensive line creating room for Zamir. That sweep to McAllister in the red zone, that was also big. So it kind of showed that there was a little more creativity in this offense that we had seen prior.
What did we hear all week from the listeners, from social media? Not that we always listen to social media, but it's there. But what was the biggest thing? Man, can Luke Getsy do something? Can he try and create something? Mm-hmm. I mean, case in point, I mean, his most creative game to date. And I don't think it's any coincidence that it's a product of the run game going. He's able to open up different things in his playbook. Now, I understand, you know, you start with the Brock Bowers end around or the jet sweep or whatever you want to call
it. Jet sweep, right.
And it's a 9-yard game. And all of a sudden, hey, we're in business. The ball's moving. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, you're working different traps and you're doing different things. The play action's working, and you're doing it to where you're putting together drives
right.
that are sustainable and long-lasting so you can mix it up a little bit. I loved seeing Tyreek McAllister getting in there on the offense,
yes.
using his speed. That's a coordinator using his personnel to their best. McAllister took some hits yesterday.
Oh, man, I felt bad
another
youngster that you want to add, you know, throw into that. And that's the theme of the day for me was the young energy and the young production that the Raiders got, because it could go either way. They can either accept that challenge and rise up to it or shy away from it. And I like the fearlessness of it. And I agree with you. It's just a balance between, okay, yeah, there was creativity without question. But you get to creativity by being able to have more plays and more bites at the apple so that you can start digging into your bag. But it ultimately, Vince, comes down to execution. Like, it has to start there. There's nothing a coach can do after he calls the play other than hope that everybody executes their job. And I thought for the first time all year, really, the offensive line was executing at a much higher level. And it's a cliche to say that it all starts up front. But it all starts up front.
And it looked it.
It totally looked it.
I can't wait to see what these grades, the PFF comes out, because the eye test alone, Clay, Andre James was firing off mm-hmm. the ball. Dylan Parham, before he left the game with an Achilles injury,
He's been dealing with a foot.
They listed him questionable to return with two drives left, Dylan Parham. So Jackson Powers Johnson moved over to the right. Cody Whitehair came in to left guard to end the game. We'll look ahead to that later in the week. But in terms of what the offense did, Dylan Parham was, once again, really, really good.
Had a great game.
Jackson Powers Johnson was a manimal. He was a man. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Again, no coincidence that the run game gets going. He makes his first NFL start and is just road grading. I mean, just paving the way.
Hitting two guys sometimes. Like, he was picking off multiple.
Sometimes he hit his own guy.
I know.
I saw it.
It's going to happen.
A couple times.
It's
the Raider on Raider crime. That's going to happen. But it did remind me of the college tape where, you know, he's just looking for people to waylay. And that, again, that is just such a mindset.
Just trying to find a warm body
just
to take
find
out.
Somebody in another uniform.
Looking for Sarah Connor as a Terminator.
Take them out. And I think that is, it's very, it's just Raider-esque, right? It's Richie Incognito-esque, you know. And talk about a guy that should have played his whole career with the Raiders. Richie's definitely one of those dudes. But that's what that reminds me of, like, like, I know going back to when the Raiders practiced against the Rams in Thousand Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Rams were basically at the point where we're never practicing against the Raiders again if that dude is
Richie Incognito.
Yeah, because just an instigator, just somebody that's going to do all
a
the
real rabble-rouser.
Extracurricular stuff. It's that extracurricular stuff that gets under opponent's skin. Forget about the curricular stuff. The normal curricular stuff, right? Whatever
the
that
curriculum.
Term is. The curriculum where he's where Jackson Powers Johnson was having a day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all those extracurricular things that take a toll, number one, on your opponent and get under their skin. It's everything that you want. It's everything that you want from a nasty offensive lineman that sets a nasty tone for the rest of the offensive line. And it absolutely showed. And yes, Dylan Parham before he had to go out, and that's something to keep.
Yeah, we got to monitor that. Got to monitor that.
The timing of how well the offensive line played was great because you're going up against a defensive line that is totally legit and is expecting to get very physical. And we talked all week. It's like, all right, you now have to out-muscle the guys in front of you. That has to be a point of contention, a mindset. And that happened against, you know, they did whatever they could to negate Myles Garrett, but they did several different things, even bring in Andrews Pete in as an eligible receiver to kind of cluster one side. But going up against Za'Darius Smith, Shelby Harris, they were doing a very good job of just stopping the pressure that was going to be coming deep into Minshew, and they really did a great job.
And that's the other point I wanted to make about Luke Getsy and being creative in this offense. To your point, the unbalanced heavy look bringing Andrews Pete in was fantastic. Did every play work on that? But no, but it gave the defense something to think about because, you know, and this is what we talked about. We understand that even when this offensive line, what we believe is, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, so stop me if I'm in, but the belief is that even at their top end, we understand that the defensive lines of the NFL are still going to get there. So, like, Myles Garrett still got his.
No doubt.
On the play, Zamir fumbles with the scoop and score. It was a 3rd and 1, and I remember sitting there at the start of the 4th quarter and being like, this feels like a defining play in terms of did the Raiders get over that hump of saying, everyone knows we're going to run the ball. Let's go run the ball. And they go with a heavy, unbalanced set to the left side on Myles Garrett's side, but they choose to run away from him. Doesn't go their way. They were outmanned on that side. He gets hit, scoop and score. We know the rest. That being said, is that a learning lesson? Yes. Is the defense going to get theirs? Yes.
Of course.
But when you look at the game and what they were able to do on the whole, 152 yards on the ground, 95 yards in the first half when they were down 10-0 in the first quarter. One, that says identity to me. Two, that says sticking with your identity because how quickly could the Raiders have said, okay, let's try and do what we did in Baltimore again. A big growth game for the Las Vegas Raiders getting to 2-2. I talked to Jackson Powers Johnson after week 3, and he talked about how, you know, excited he was to get in his first NFL game, but he didn't want to talk about it because they lost. Well, the Nation caught up with JPJ after his first win.
You bounced back and forth from left to right. You played right last week and then left and right. On a win like that, jumping back and forth in different directions.
I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, it's not so much of a different position. It's just an invert, and then you just got to switch your feet. So it was easy.
You attributed to a big running game today. Can you give us your thoughts on it?
Amazing running backs. Seriously, they ran unbelievable today. And especially all the guys around, just everybody did their job. Everyone did their 111. And we just played complimentary ball. You know, we blocked for each other. We didn't just block for, you know, ourselves. We blocked for each other. And I think that's why we had a good week. And what's great is we get to go prove it next week. So, yeah.
How hard is it, man? You were pegged pretty much as the starter for the start of the season, like way back in the offseason when you were drafted, to wait this long to finally get your first start.
Not really just focusing on the weight, you know, not focusing on, you know, why I'm not, just continue to get better and focus on myself and focus on what I need to help contribute to this team. I mean, yeah, it's hard not getting out there and contributing, but, you know, as you saw in the Baltimore game, I'm going to be the best cheerleader I can be. So this team needs me to be a cheerleader, needs me to catch the ball, needs me to throw the ball. I'll do whatever. So.
Do you think like one successful running play leads to another? It kind of builds off each other.
Probably, yeah, definitely a domino effect. It's just getting confidence, you know. Sometimes you just need, I mean, like, you look at a pitcher who practices his curveball, you know, doesn't get it right, and then he feels that just perfect flick of the wrist and it just curves right over. That's how it is. You know, you just need that one pop where, you know, the pads are popping, you feel it, you hear that crowd, and it's like, oh, okay, let's go.
Look at that analogy on the curveball.
That's a fantastic analogy.
Yeah.
Not only for a microcosm for a player, but for the offensive line as well. How many times have we talked about, like, an offensive line needs to marinate, needs time to, but once it pops,
right,
you feel it, it clicks. They were feeling it yesterday. And it goes to show, Vinny, I mean, it's one thing to have one rookie on an offensive line, on an offensive line that's struggling to find, but to have two,
mm-hmm.
and for both of them to be playing, not just surviving, but there were moments where they were drivers of this offensive line, whether it was the run game or pass protection.
Yeah, it was. They didn't blink. And you know, in DJ Glaze's case, we never got the opportunity to see Jackson Powers Johnson in training camp, but we saw DJ Glaze like every time, like he got thrown into the fire, whether it was in training camp, in games. There were a lot of opportunities where he could have blinked, and he did the complete opposite. That first day in pads, where he stood up against Max Crosby, yes, Max Crosby, you know, got it's Max Crosby, but there were definitely reps where DJ Glaze was like, wow, okay, and it was an eye opener within the organization, and so he's just been a steady presence, a guy that you talk to him afterwards, highly intelligent player, highly skilled player, is strong, has great footwork, like this is a future, I think, long-term starter, obviously, Jackson Powers Johnson. I want to hit on one thing, though. This was a huge step in the right direction for the Raiders. But what also is encouraging is that there's a lot to grow from in terms – there's a lot of cleaning up that still needs to be done, which tells you that better days are still possible. Like, this isn't like what we saw on Sunday, they can improve on that. Because when you look at toward the end of the third quarter and the fourth quarter, the fumble by Zamir goes for a touchdown. Then it's punt, punt, punt. All right. So you start cleaning that up where you're able to better finish as an offense, which I think that they're going to, especially as you said, that offensive line now is marinating and it's mm-hmm. going to get better. And we've seen this with Raider offensive lines, heck, in the entire NFL. The more you play together, the better you get, the more the offensive coordinator and the coaching staff is going to figure what can we really put on their shoulders, what can we do well. The run to the outside on Zamir on that third and short,
mm-hmm.
they had previously been doing like third, right into the middle, you know, trying to power their way to get the extra yard. They tried to do something where get the wide. It didn't work. That's something that cannot get better, or at least it showed that they were doing something different right there. It didn't work, obviously. But if you could start cleaning that up where you're finishing games offensively stronger and start not putting yourself in a position where you have to have that goal line or near goal line stand, mm-hmm. they're going to be better off with that as well. So as great as it was, there's still a lot of growing to do, and I think the Raiders can make that growth spurt.
Yeah, there was a lot of yards left on the table, to your point. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the Raiders took a massive step forward, but there's still enough.
Meat on
there's,
the bone.
There you go. There's still enough there that you're like, man, this could be even. Because .152, while that's good, for this team, the identity Antonio Pierce wants, I mean, he wants that number.
Against a good defense.
Yeah, agreed.
Against a good defense. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is that that wasn't the highest of high ends of the Raiders. Like, they didn't have to play a perfect game just to squeak one out against the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. They played a pretty good game, and there's a lot that they could do better, which if they can do that better, which I think they're fully capable of, then all of a sudden, you know, a 2016 win can be a 32-16
right.
kind of a win, a much easier day at the office, and that meet is still left on the bone, and I think eventually they're gonna clean that bone off. They're gonna feast on the meat that's on that bone and leave nothing on the bone, so that you're gonna have some really satisfying wins.
DJ Glaze was another rookie, a standout. Met with media after the game.
How much do you think one successful run leads to another? Like, you just kind of feel that rhythm go.
I think it has a lot to do with it. Cause I mean, once you see one go, you kind of know like. That's what we got to do to get another one. Whether we go the other way, come back, whatever. We kind of find out what we got to do to make them pop. So, you know, that the fact that we were able to have, you know, a couple good ones tonight, you know, it's just a credit to CM1 and just continue to hammer at it.
I know everybody always says next man up, but, like, it's another thing when it's Devontae Adams and Max Crosby. Right. Like, what does it mean for this team to get the win in that situation?
It's huge, man. It's huge. You know, you can just see, you know, everybody came to play. Everybody was ready. You know, we're not, those are our leaders. We know that. They wanted us to come out here and do that. They wouldn't want us to, you know, be sobbing or sad that they weren't here. You know, they want us to go out and get the dub like we did. And, you know, that's just a credit to the culture we built. You know, like you said, next man up, you just got to go out and ball.
In addition to what they bring, you know, physically and how good they are, when they are the emotional leaders, emotional guys mm-hmm. like that, who are the guys that kind of stepped up and, like, took their place in that role?
I mean, the big one for me was Gardner. You know, he kind of got us together before the game. He was speaking to us. You know, guys on the line like Colt, Dre, you know, there's multiple guys, to be honest with you. You can kind of see, you know, guys stepping up, guys trying to get everybody going, get the juice going. You know, and it's all over the team in different position groups. So.
What do you think you'd point to in terms of why the running game was able to get going today and why it hasn't in the past couple of years?
Just a different one today. Yeah, I mean, we just, you know, we finally just trusted it. We saw one go, and we just kept going. You know, finally put it together. Like I said, once you see one go, it just kind of starts to roll down from there. So, you know, we trusted the technique. We just ran, saw one pop, and then started to put them together.
Is that when you're having the most fun as a lineman?
You push the D lineman down the field, see it pop, and you can chase the ball, celebrate with your back. Yeah, that's when it's pretty fun.
When you have so many veterans out like you did today, I know a lot of people are like, man, that's going to be a tough road to hoe for the Raiders. But when you see youngsters like yourself and others, mm-hmm. how much pride does that give you that you guys, when the bell rang, you guys responded?
Yeah, man, a ton. It's a ton. It's a ton of pride. You know, not happy that the coaches trust us to put us in that situation. You know, let us do what we do. Let us go out there and ball. Like, guy like me, Jackson, that's on the line to be specific. We didn't blink. We knew that we were going to have to come play. They had a good D-line. You know, we knew, we kind of game planned all week. We knew how they were going to play, what we would have to do. And we just went out there and did it and executed.
You and Jackson side by side next to each other. What was the communication like between you two in real time?
Yeah, I mean, every time we go beside each other, it's just constant communication, whether that's, hey, I got your inside, whether you can be heavy on this. I mean, it's just a lot of different little things that, you know, we just go back and forth with. You know, we trust each other that, you know, each one's going to be there. You know, and then his energy, when he comes to the right side, you know, that just lifts me up too. So, I mean, it's good, you know, to be able to go beside him and kind of have that talk and, you know, get it going.
Being that you guys are the younger side of the line, do you two feel like you have something to prove? You kind of bonded through that?
I wouldn't necessarily say there's anything to prove, but, yeah. You know, we are going to go out there, so, you know, we can do this too, you know. We're young, but, you know, we're ballers, so.
You and I had talked earlier in the week, and you spoke about how much, like, you do this for your little brother at 8 years old. Did you get a chance to talk to him after the game? Or
Not yet. I'm going to talk to him. I know he's excited. He probably was in there yelling, so I'm going to call him. I'm going to call him when I leave.
Raiders right tackle DJ Glaze following the Raiders 20-16 victory at Allegiant Stadium. And guys, I guess running the ball, it's the opposite of the Christmas season. Apparently, running the ball, seeing is believing, because when he says, you know, you see the first one, then it's like, oh, okay. Then it gets popping off. And that's why, you know, it is frustrating for Antonio Pierce to see the first big runs of the season come in week 4. Of the season, but the fact that they happened and it wasn't a one and done, it happened again and again with multiple guys.
Yeah,
that does a lot moving right. forward about the one, the confidence of whoever's getting the rock back there, but two, knowing, hey, this is what we did here. This is how that let's get this going.
No doubt. And as frustrating as it was that it wasn't there in 3 weeks, I don't think he's arguing after seeing what he saw on. Like, he's just relieved that it was there.
Yeah, and not celebrating like we were at the start of this segment.
Right. But I'll say this too. When you talk about how many of these youngsters like DJ Glaze that we just heard from and Jackson Powers Johnson we heard from earlier, you know, delivering, that's just like it sends so much energy through the entire building, because that's like every scout that's involved in that. That's an organizational win right there, because, and we've seen this, Vince, especially with the Raiders, when young players were asked to perform and it didn't always go well. We've seen some ugly moments over the years with some rookies and you know, guys that the Raiders brought in that just weren't capable of delivering, of doing the job. When you have multiple guys like Trey Tucker and DJ, the two DJs, and Jackson Powers Johnson, and on and on and on, you know, making huge contributions. Isaiah Palamau, a guy that was an undrafted free agent that they found at a regional, you know, workout for USC players. It's just, like I said, and Antonio Pierce brought it up, that's a foundational piece moving forward. That's something that they can feel really good about as an organization, because when draft picks and undrafted free agents are hitting, that tells you that guys and women throughout the organization are doing their job as well.
Coming up, we'll read some text from the Dollar Loan Center text line, 702-365-9200. In the second hour, we'll take more calls, but we'll also have a conversation with our Monday morning cornerback, Eric Allen, at 8 a.m. It's the Morning Tailgate.
Traffic is brought to you by Meineke, your one-stop shop for total car care. Trust your keys with the Morning Tailgate with Vinny, Vince, and Clay on Raider Nation Radio.
Sean Watson, the shotgun. Play action. He pumps out to the right. He settles. He's looking for a deep shot. He fires over the middle. It's bobbled by Cooper and picked off by the Raiders. Merrick has it, and he's brought down at the 48-yard line. Watson threw a bullet, and Cooper batted it up into the air right into the waiting arms of Trayvon Merrick.
Jason Horowitz on the call. Man, how
gotta
do you
be lucky sometimes,
how
right?
How do you not love that guy's calls? The excitement is just, it is intoxicating, it is contagious. I don't know how you don't smile on that. But as Eric Allen said a couple weeks ago, on a Victory Monday, you know, everything...
It sounds great.
Everything sounds great.
Yeah.
Not Jason always sounds great, let's be honest.
Fantastic.
But you know, you wake up this morning, the alarm didn't hurt your ears as much. wasn't so bad. You know,
speak for yourself.
The shower wasn't that cold when you first got it. You know what I mean? Everything was just nice. So coming up in about 10 minutes, our Monday morning cornerback, Eric Allen, will join us. And Clay, you brought in Trayvon Merrick with that interception. And to me, opportunistic is kind of the word that jumps out. And for a defense that hasn't had a lot of turnover but has had some success. I'm not going to say a lot just because of, you know, the highs and lows we've seen. But, you know, finally kind of cashing in on one, on being opportunistic, does a lot. And I think, you know, as much as we heard DJ Glaze in the last segment talk about, you know, you hear the pads pop and you see a big run go, you know, it feels different. And all of a sudden the confidence starts going. The same can be said for the defense. You know, Vinny, you just said it. That was probably Deshaun Watson's best throw.
Right.
You know, maybe the only other argument would be the other one that was called back, the long touchdown that was called back to Amari Cooper. But that one, at that point, was his best throw of the game. Hits Amari Cooper right in the chest plate, bounces up, and you could call it a fortunate bounce. You can call it whatever. Trayvon Merrick is in the right position for a play of that ilk, comes down with it, returns it 17 yards to midfield, near midfield. And all of a sudden, the Raiders now in business, and it results in a field goal, which proved to be the difference.
Right, and by the way, how big was that missed extra point by the Cleveland Browns?
I don't think you guys tell me what you guys were thinking. I didn't even see it because I got my head down. I'm looking at the numbers from the drive and see missed extra point. I'm like, oh, okay, and then I look back up. I'm like, ooh. That's interesting timing.
We would have been facing overtime, basically. Right,
you know, yeah, they don't go for it on fourth down.
They kick it. They kick it to tie it up. Conversation for another day. But look, you're right. That was Deshaun's, you know, arguably his best throw, and certainly his best throw to that point in the game. But why, if I'm a Raider fan, I don't even so. That's how I would be thinking about it. Because
how many times has those perfect passes been right. not in our favor?
Well, how many times does how many times does that tip ball or whatever you want to call it just fall to the ground? Or has that happened in the past where the ball fell to the ground and then given the offense another chance to you know, to redeem themselves and score a touchdown on that drive? You know, so for the Raiders to be for Trayvon to be Johnny on the spot to pick it out of the air, that's, like you said, opportunistic. Call it what you want.
He's in the
but
right
you,
spot.
But when breaks come your way, they aren't breaks unless you take advantage of them. And it is a mindset. And it is a skill to be able to cash in on those breaks, and that's exactly what he did to help, you know, kind of win that day and put the Raiders in position to go score some points. So all credit to Trayvon Merrick and the Raiders defense for taking advantage of a break, but absolutely taking advantage of it, which is nothing to ever, you know, feel ashamed, not necessarily ashamed about. But, yeah, it was lucky, but in this league you got to make your own luck as well.
And the Raiders did just that, especially doing it is a word we've thrown around here on the morning tailgate since my arrival, collective. And what a performance from that collective group of defensive linemen, Clay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was trying to keep a track of the different kind of personnel groupings they were running in on. I don't know if there was a rhyme or reason to it. If there was, Patrick Graham is playing 4D chess with that defensive line group, because I don't know if there was rhyme or reason or if they were just throwing in warm bodies that had a breath. But the guys that did it, they did enough, and, yep. and you could tell they were getting stronger as the game was going on.
Yeah, Charles Snowden has become somebody to rely on, you know, and they were calling him the closer in the locker room for making that final game-saving play against Watson. But also think about, you know, Nesta Jade Silvera put in some snaps. Janarius Robinson put in some snaps. You even saw, as we talked about, Trayvon Merrick played near the line on several plays, on the line of scrimmage. He was all over the place. So they were getting such a great complementary nature of what they wanted to find, not only pressure, but for different looks to stop the run. It felt like this was one of Patrick Graham's, you know, real, like one of his, like, classic defensive play calls where he was able to go and get everybody to get a contribution, but he pushing the button on certain players that haven't seen the field a whole lot, like Charles Snowden.
Well, and why that was so, you mentioned it. You hit the nail on the head. They got stronger as the game went on. That's because they were in a rotation and weren't playing, you know, a crap load of snaps early on, because these are players that are rotational players to begin with. So they're not used to playing as many snaps as a Max Crosby mm-hmm. or, you know, a Christian Wilkins. So you had to, as a defensive coordinator, understand that and say, look, there's a tipping point for all of these guys. So the best bet is to play them all relatively. I mean, all of them had to play a little bit more than they normally do, but not a lot more than they normally do. So that kept them fresh. You mentioned Trayvon Merrick lining up sometimes close to the line of scrimmage. You have Isaiah Palamao playing the free safety position, but then you have Isaiah Palamao also lining up mm-hmm. near the line of scrimmage. That's where he got his sack. That's the versatility that Isaiah Palamao brings to the table. And I keep going back, which I think was one of the key plays of this game, that pass breakup that he had in the fourth quarter, where that was a well-thrown ball as well. Mm-hmm. That was going to go for a 30-yard gain on third and 16 to give them new life in a four-point game, and who knows what might happen after that. And a lot of times players, you know, misread that situation as a safety, and sometimes they come in too soon to get a pass interference call on them. Sometimes they miss it, and the catch is made. Isaiah made the perfect play in that situation because he's timed that up beautifully to make sure that he was not only in position to make the play, but not be there too soon to also cause a penalty. And that's, you know, would have been a spot foul right there. Just a great play by a young player who just has a knack for making plays.
More on the defense on the other side of this one. And when we return, it's our Monday morning cornerback, Eric Allen.